hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Ahoy hoy, and welcome to the... that's my new version of starting the show. Do you like it?
It scared me.
Yeah. It's the Gamer Show. It's the Gamer Show again. This time, we've sadly got Sam back. He's factable health. Back to full health.
I'm not sure if you were calling me fat there or... I don't know.
How are you?
Better.
A couple of stones later, I would imagine.
Well, you know, I'm quite fat, so I can't really get on the scales anymore.
Good. Okay, grand. Chiz, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Yep. That it?
That's about it.
Great. Excellent.
We have some reviews to talk about this week. Yeah, it seems that our clear request for to get some reviews on iTunes has drummed up some business.
How many?
Two. But you know, and for those of you who
one of them.
Sorry?
And we know one of them.
One of them is one of our friends.
Oh, incidentally, it turns out that I didn't destroy that disc, so all of the rubbish games.
Basically, we put a challenge out to say that on the next episode the fifth episode, which, is that the next one? This is the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next show. So in the fifth show, we will give away to the funniest review in iTunes, we will give away all of our Bargain Basement games to date. So we'll chuck them all in. Some of them are they're all in like second-hand condition, so don't expect anything fancy from them. Chuck them in a big envelope and we'll fire them off to you wherever you happen to be on the planet. If you give us an awesome review on iTunes. You know what, it just occurred to me though, we're not checking the iTunes in different countries, so people could be putting awesome reviews up in the States and stuff, and we've not checked the States iTunes. Anyway, so two reviews that we've got so far. First
I
one from...
Didn't even realise it was like that. I thought it was all just all together.
No, yeah. Apparently they've got different iTunes libraries. Mm. First one...
Thanks for stopping to check.
First one from Mr. Long Trousers. The guys do a great job discussing the games they've been playing and what's coming soon. Also, the bargain bin section is just the best. Keep up the great work and keep finding those torturous games from the past and inflicting them on the co-hosts. Oh, I will. And I've got some awesome ones tonight. The second one...
Have you bought more?
Sorry?
Have you bought more?
Yes.
You can't actually beat the one that I've just had to play, so...
Yeah, possibly. The next one is actually, we have to admit, full disclosure here, to somebody we know, but it's by Creepy Bead. The title for this is iTunes Made Me Fill In This Box. And his review goes, fantastic show, relaxed and entertaining, like having jam poured in your ear by a rare gibbon. So thanks for that, Bead. On to the news. So the first thing we wanted to talk about post E3 is Assassin's Creed. Now, do you guys happen to catch the trailer?
I have seen.
Yep.
So Sam's currently devouring a packet of Garibaldi biscuits tonight.
Yeah, we've not actually covered his podcast biscuits yet. Have
yeah,
we?
Yeah. Gary's eat it, Gary.
It is actually one of the most important features of the show. So.
Yeah, Sam's eating some Garibaldi podcasts. Where has my vocabulary gone today? Sam is eating some Garibaldi biscuits.
The person who made it was called Stephen. They go Stephen Baldies.
I wonder if it's named after Gary. Anyway, Assassin's Creed 3. Did we all see the demo?
Yes.
What's your thoughts? Chiz, go.
Game looks pretty damn good, I think. Better than Revelations, which... I enjoyed Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and it was Brotherhood, but I thought Revelations was a big pile of crap.
Yeah. To be fair, though, the videos for all of them have looked excellent, regardless of...
Yeah, yeah. So. Although this one actually looks like a new game engine, and they've definitely looked like improved over it.
Well,
after Assassin's Creed 2, it was just a copy and paste with a few extra features. So it looks like they've upped it a bit more. So.
I love the movement through the trees, ability to kind of run through the trees. It just looked so fluid. And obviously the guy that was playing in the demo has played it hundreds and hundreds of times. But it just looked so fluid and beautiful, the way he was flying through.
I found no matter what kind of superhero powers my character has in a game, I always end up moving like a... decrepit hamster ball hitting against the wall.
Have you seen the Darrow O'Brien sketch, actually? You have to look at YouTube if you see it. We'll put it in the show notes. But it's the one where he's talking about playing... I think it's Call of Duty he's talking about playing.
It's Metal Gear Solid, isn't it?
Metal Gear Solid, you're right.
Oh, no, but yeah, no. That and it's Call of Duty he's talking about as well, actually, you're right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
My pen doesn't work. All this technology here, and I'm using a pen to write notes for the show notes, and it stopped working.
Your swear pad's going to be...
Oh, thank you, Chiz. Right.
Well, that's that one.
Right, anyway, so Assassin's Creed 3. Yeah, it looks lovely.
A bit racist.
In what way?
Against my people. My ethnic group.
Yeah, the English.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming there was some Scots in that army as well. So.
Well, it's the British army, so yeah.
It's the British army, yeah.
But, well, yeah,
in fact, there is, because the devil I saw, there is actually a Scots guard.
Yeah, the heavy guards seem to be Scottish. It's like, before we came, in the past games, there were heavy armoured brutes, so they just decided to make every Scottish person in the game the brutes of this version.
Yeah, because you have to actually use different techniques to kill them, or to wound them. Actually, the dual... what am I trying to say? The dual counterattack thing.
Yeah,
looked really, really interesting.
Yeah, it basically just looks like they've. It's much the same game thing, but it just improved and ramped up a bit. And I say, it's jumping through the trees looks pretty good. And the guy who's playing it looked good, but I wonder. I kind of hope there's a bit more skill to it. So when you first play it, you are just flailing and falling out the tree like a imbecile.
Like me.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, I've never actually played any of the Assassin's Creeds up till now. No. Not one of them. And they've just never really kind of struck a chord for me, but this one actually looked really interesting. I will probably be picking this bad boy up. Final Fantasy. There was an article that was put in the show notes, the Final Fantasy, supposedly the most impressive of E3. We didn't discuss this at all last week because I hadn't seen anything about Final Fantasy until
it wasn't
last
really
Monday or Tuesday.
Everyone was shell-shocked.
Yeah.
It was just so blown away. I can't even talk about it.
Well, the people who saw it actually got put into a coma and they just woke up.
Well, did you not think that the demo video looked impressive?
It did. If it's, I don't know, it's... thing is, it's not actually, well, unless we're going to turn that into a game, first of all, it's not actually a game, it's just to highlight their new game engine for the next generation, so it's going to use...
Was that using the new Epic?
No, it's Square's own its game engine called something or other, I can't mind. But,
it's a kind of, this is what we could do, if we could be bothered.
Yeah, well...
It was lovely, though. I mean, like, the effects in the background and things like that was lovely.
They claim it's that was being run on everything you can currently buy for PCs off the shelf just now.
To be implied that that'll be like next generation consoles.
Yeah,
yeah.
And but I don't know whether to me it just I don't know if I bought it, if you know what I mean. I don't know if I found it a wee bit. Is this like the Killzone 2 trailer over again, which Sony claimed was in game, which wasn't at all.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Like, I really hope it is.
Yeah.
But,
off the back of that though, we had a look at the Unreal Engine as well, and new Unreal Engine looks. Unreal. But
yeah,
it looks
really good.
I have to admit, I only watched like half of it because the second half of the demo, the link that you put in the show notes, was it seemed to just be targeted at developers because it was all about how you could build it and things like that. But the first kind of 3 or 4 minutes, which again we'll put a link in the show notes, but the first kind of 3 or 4 minutes of this thing just looked incredible. It's the light reflection, everything like
it's
that.
It's the lightings. I that's definitely some even in the Square one. Its lighting effects just seem to have they've worked really hard on that for the game's engine then. I mean, I suppose its lighting plays a massive effect on what you're seeing anyway.
Yeah. The thing I don't like about these Unreal things is whenever they bring out one of these demos, they make it look so simple that I won't go, yeah, I could make a game and that would be fantastic. And then, not the Unreal one, I have to admit, I've never actually downloaded that one, but another one of these game generator things and you just open it up and go, I just know there's nowhere. There's not like a start button. I don't want to know what to do. But
it's cool that you can now play with. It's making stuff while seeing what's going on at the same time, rather than having to load everything up and go back. It's good that you can have it all running at the same time in game. You can see what you're changing happen there in front of you, rather than right. I'll do this and now wait 10 minutes as it loads everything up. Nope, that didn't work. Back again.
Yeah,
Paul. Effectively, is what you want. What's the little man that lives in your phone called that you can talk to?
Siri.
Yeah, Cecil. do you want a little Cecil bloke that you can just go, Cecil? I want a game about an elephant who lives in a dustbin and his best friend is a panda. Go.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That would be, what are you kind of almost saying as if that's a bad thing? That would be incredible.
I bet that game exists somewhere.
Or that now.
Oh no! I see what you mean. Yeah. That game.
By the way, I own intellectual rights to that storyline, so no one steal it.
Half-Life fan remake Black Mesa is still alive.
Yeah, it's been in the making since Half-Life 2 came out, basically.
It's 4 years, but there haven't been anything for about 4 years.
Yeah, I think everyone thought it died because it is just like fan made and funded by themselves.
Yeah, it was going to be vaporware.
Because it's original Half-Life game, but they're remaking it with the Source Engine Half-Life 2 is making.
Yeah, so it's basically Half-Life 1, but look like Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm a bit kind of about this. I loved Half-Life 1, I loved Half-Life 2, I loved all the expansion packs to Half-Life 2. When Half-Life 3 comes along, I will be standing at the front door. This is just a bit...
played Half-Life 2, Half-Life for ages, and I'm quite interested to see what they've done with it, just to revisit that world, because Half-Life changed first-person shooters as far as I'm concerned.
As little as we like to admit it, there will be a whole generation of gamers who haven't really ever played Half-Life 1.
Yeah. Which is just wrong.
It is wrong, true. But
so I suppose this is giving them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And so I suppose by that same token, it can justify why they're doing the Spider-Man reboot.
No.
Okay.
Nothing justifies that.
Okay,
it's the same as Mario. Nothing justifies it.
So
he's collecting loads of coins in his latest game. That's
original.
Yeah.
I like Mario and I like the platform thing and I'm really chuffed that they're continuing.
I don't mind Mario,
platform.
But I'm just sick to death.
You know, actually, separately to this, it kind of going off on a bit of a tangent, like that's me. I was playing Mario All Stars, which I haven't picked up on my Wii for a while. And I was really disappointed to find out that Super Mario Land wasn't in the All Star pack that you get for the Wii. And I know I realised this way back, and for some reason I forgot, and when I picked it up the other day, I thought, ooh, I'm going to go and play Super Mario Land. It's only 1, 2, and 3, and the Lost Levels. That's rubbish. Anyway, Skyrim downloadable content should come out this week, shouldn't it, Dawnguard? Last week in June it was quoted for?
I think so, yeah. It'd be by the end of June, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was CVG, certainly the article I read in CVG said
hopefully,
last week in June.
If it's not delayed at all, I guess it's in beta testing just now, apparently, with a few people playing it.
We're not in the last week of June.
No.
No, that's next week, isn't it?
No, it's the week after.
Oh, sorry, I've lost a week. It's the week after.
You have.
Mm. Once again, your famous concept of time.
But this expansion basically is bringing vampires into Skyrim. Yep.
Vampires are already in it, but they're enhancing it, and it's just kind of...
I've never come across them yet. Possibly they're not in the first 3 hours of the game.
No. Well, I don't know. It depends where you go.
I met a giant last night, actually, for the first time ever.
Did you? Did you attack it?
I wandered up to it going, I've never seen this before. What's... Oh, it's a giant!
Did it hit
the end?
See, I'm just adding this in because I think it's interesting. You said the first time you came across a giant, it walloped you.
I think so, yeah.
And all other friends that I've spoken to have said the first time they came across a giant, it walloped them.
I remember
I'm the only one that I know that plays a Khajiit, though. Mm. And I just wandered straight up to them and kind of stood and looked up at it. And it just kept walking.
Which one's the Khajiit? Is that the one that looks like a cat?
Yeah. Right, okay. It's like, oh, hello,
maybe just like, petted me.
Yeah. But, yeah, because I remember in the demo of the show before the game was released that that there was a bunch of giants and the mammoths, and they basically said that the giants wouldn't attack you unless you attacked the mammoths or them, and just the giant just walked straight past them. Right. That doesn't happen in the actual game. The giants just don't like anyone.
Yeah,
you go near them and they
will still don't attack me. Apart from there's an angry giant who's mental. He attacks me. Mm.
Mm. Mental Jeff.
But he's supposed to be mental. There's a storyline about him.
Yeah, he's got a serious head injury.
He has.
Yeah. Cool. And finally, the last piece of news that we're going to talk about is
actually much about the DLC there itself.
DLC is vampires, looks awesome. Good. My highlight, and I think we all kind of agreed last week that everybody's highlight was The Last of Us from E3. And I watched another demo of it because it was obviously the demo that was actually in the conference. I watched another demo the other day of basically playing it through a slightly different and a slightly more kind of stealthy style, and it just looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just the game. I mean, the game concept looks quite good and the whole idea of it looks like you're really, really fighting for your life, but just the graphics. I mean, there was one bit that I saw that was like the foliage kind of flowing down the side of the building and the sun coming through. And I know you shouldn't really... I mean, a game is more about the gameplay and stuff like that, but it just looked gorgeous.
Yeah. It's Naughty Dog are very good at doing that stuff because it's basically Uncharted, but in a fungi zombie apocalypse sort of idea. And they're very good at getting the characters and the way the animations work. It's Naughty Dog are brilliant at doing that. And like, I enjoyed Uncharted the first one, really enjoyed it until the stupid zombie crap at the end. Uncharted 2 I thought was absolutely brilliant. Uncharted 3, still very good, much the same, but lost a bit of its magic, but still a very, very well-made game. And I'm glad they've left Uncharted for now anyway and made this, because this looks just fantastic.
Yeah, it really does. There was just the little bits in the second demo that I saw would just kind of made it for me. And I know they're not like big killer features, but like when he picked up ammo from another person, like if somebody else dropped their gun, you know, like in every other game, Call of Duty, Gears of War and everything like that, they kind of pass over the top of it. Sometimes they'll maybe crouch to pick it up, but they'll pass over the top of it and they automatically get it. But in the demo that I saw, he actually picks up the gun, opens the barrel and then knocks the ammo out in his hand and puts his hand in his pocket. And it's just tiny little features like that just make it awesome.
Because it adds to the strategy. It's like if you've got loads of enemies around, you have to kind of think, have I got time to do that, or do I need to be somewhere else or hide? Like, it's the same thing when if you've got a wound and you need to go in your backpack to get someone out, you'll have to go down on one knee, get your backpack out, get everything out, but in the middle of a firefight, you're not going to be able to do that, so you have to find a way or try and survive. And
yeah, definitely.
And you can make it's Molotov cocktails and
one of those scenes that did that. There was another thing, when you get shot, it isn't like, again, in all the other games that I play, you know, your controller vibrates a little bit and maybe the screen goes red or something like that. Yeah. But he actually got like knocked back and stumbled back as if a bullet had actually went into his shoulder or clipped him or something like that. And it was just those little animations. I think it brought the realness to it.
Yeah, it's like it's got brutal violence in it. It's cool, but at the same time, it makes you, obviously, to conserve your character, you want to avoid that. And you do start thinking, right, I actually maybe want to avoid the violence so I can stay alive here.
Yeah, definitely.
And when you actually do see the violence, it is actually pretty brutal and hard-hitting in an entertaining fashion, but at the same time, a horrifying, real fashion where it's just like, violence isn't good, is it? I've been brought up in games, it's supposed to be awesome and fun.
There's not many that do. I mean, having just been playing the Thief games, Since that until now, presumably, there's not been many that have kind of actively rewarded you for sneaking around stuff and
I say it's the AI looks absolutely brilliant, and like and the fact that you do have a choice to kind of roam around and choose how you want to go through it.
Yeah,
looks good.
Really looking forward to that. Will be a pre-order for me definitely when that eventually makes its way out, which. On that subject, moves us quite nicely on to the calendar. So, in the next couple of weeks, a number of games coming out. We decided to slightly change this section based on the past three shows.
Never heard of that one. What's that? I don't know.
No.
So, we decided to kind of focus on the games that were coming out in the next two weeks that we either were interested in, had heard of, or actually had something interesting to say about, as opposed to iCarly's Groovy Foodie. So, first of all,
did you just
Lego.
Make that up or is that a game?
No, that was a game we listed in the last show.
Was it really?
Okay. Yeah, none of us remember it. So, Lego Batman 2 comes out on the PC, the PS3, the Xbox, and the Wii. I love the Lego games.
Yeah,
I still haven't played any of them, but I really, really want to, and have done since they started. Yeah, I just haven't.
I are cracking little games.
Messed about with the Star Wars one and Indiana Jones one. Yeah, they're fun little games, but didn't hold my interest for very long.
The only thing about does, though. Except hardcore man porn.
Yeah. Nice.
Can't beat a bit of man jam.
So this one was called DC Superheroes, but from the trailer it was only Batman and Superman. Now I get that that's possibly the two core superheroes in
it's
DC
them,
world,
it?
But
it's the only one. Apart
from
really
that,
sell.
Isn't it like Fish Bloke and Mysterio? No, there is. There's Aquaman,
yeah.
Or
something. Oh, yeah, it's, and then, it's and then Aquaman,
the,
yeah.
And the other one's like Johnny Mysterio or something.
Every time
there
I think of
no
Aquaman
heroes.
Now, I always get remembered of the Family Guy sketch where they just make him look crappy. Yeah. So you talk to fish? You pointless git. It's just basically, that's not, I can't mean exactly what to say, but it's just basically the. What you come off thinking of Aquaman.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man comes out this period as well. That comes out on Xbox, Wii, Nintendo DS, PC, 3DS, and PS3.
I've got my fingers crossed that it's a good Spider-Man game, because we've not had one since Spider-Man 2.
This is a kind of a sandbox game, isn't it? You just kind of flying about Manhattan.
Yeah, but I think it's the same idea as... Did anyone ever play Spider-Man 2?
I did.
And I think it's much the same idea as that, but obviously a new version.
I have to admit, it didn't look anything mind-blowing for me. It just looked like a Spider-Man game.
I know, but the thing is, they've not actually done this sandbox Spider-Man game for a while.
Spider-Man 2.
Since Spider-Man 3, which was god-awful. I remember
mixing them up. Maybe it was Spider-Man 3 I played, actually. I remember not being that enthused.
Because I got burned by Spider-Man 3 because I was expecting more of Spider-Man 2, which was actually the only proper good film tie-in game, which was brilliant, even though if Tobey Maguire sounded like he was on the toilet recording his voice. But Spider-Man 3 was just god-awful. So fingers crossed this one's good, but the company, developers, is it Betabox or Betox or something like that? They've been making, I think they've made about 4 or 5 Spider-Man games the past few years, and they've all been dire, so I'm hoping they've got their act together this one, but maybe not. But I'm interested, and I shall keep an eye on it and see what the reviews are like, but hopes aren't too high.
Spec Ops The Line on Xbox, PC and PS3.
They showed off a tech demo that a couple of years ago or something, and their sand demo, the way the sand moved, it looked really impressive. It was all about different things. And then I played the demo on Xbox Live a couple of weeks ago, and it's absolute crap.
Well,
they went backwards with it. It's a no sand thing anymore. It's just a third person cover shooter.
It is. There's a couple of nice bits about it. I played the demo on Xbox Live as well. It's still there. If you're listening, it'll likely be there for years. But there was a couple of interesting bits. I'd never seen these concepts executed in quite this way. So, of giving commands to your other people. giving commands to the other, your team members and stuff like that. So basically,
AI team members.
Yeah, so like there's three of you going through the game. So you could actually highlight somebody and tell one of your guys to take him out. So like if it required a sniper rifle or something like that.
It's been done in quite a few games now, I think. Was that's it? A mechanic.
I'd never seen that mechanic before. I quite like that. There was also quite a nice implementation of bullet time. It was a little bit out of nowhere, I thought.
Don't get even saw that. But, no. I just didn't think it was that great at all. And the graphics are nowhere near as good as what they showed off.
No, that was one thing that struck me.
A few years ago, it was terrible now.
And the other thing, I mean, it looked like the kind of game, I think, that in, 3 or 4 weeks' time to a couple of months' time, and it's probably sitting in a second-hand bin for like 15, 20 quid, I probably will pick up, because I quite enjoyed the demo.
I'd probably wait till it's dropped under that. But to be honest, after the demo, it left me cold. No interest in it.
Finally, and this was one that this was one I actually liked the look of. Steel Battalion. It comes out on the Xbox because it's a Kinect game.
Did you try it?
I did.
Ah.
It was on Xbox Live. It still is on Xbox Live. I really liked this. Now, we mentioned this in the E3 special that I'm not a big fan of the Kinect. I mean, we have one. My daughters love it, jumping about, jumping on and off of rafts and all this kind of jumping up and getting stars. I just don't buy that for actual hardcore gaming. And I'm really interested in using the Kinect for these kind of ideas whereby it's not jumping about, pretend like holding the fake gun up to your eye and stuff like that, and actually using it in a different technique. So like, for example, in... I forgot the name of it now. Anyway, that one where you Splinter Cell. So the new version of Splinter Cell, where you shout over to guards and they come over and you can then attack them. Those kind of voice commands. But this was taking it to start a new level. So essentially, what this is you're inside, sort of a mini AT-AT. It's a mech. So you're driving it, and you're also the gunner, and you've got three other guys in the cabin with you. Who, as far as I can tell, one does the radio, one refills your guns, and the guy at the back. I answered the phone when he was telling me what he did, so I've got no idea what he did. But there's a dude sits at the back.
Toilet dude.
I don't know what he did. Anyway, and it's a really nice concept whereby you used your hands and the controller at the same time. So, for example, you reached over to your right to start the thing moving, or to start the engine. You reached over your left for it putting a high speed, low speed. You stood up, and that was you going up the, like, looking out the top, and it opened the hatch at the top. This was a bit that I found a bit corny. And when you stood up, if you then put your hand up to the side of your head, you then put your binoculars on and you could then turn around and like look through your binoculars at the top. There's also periscopes. If you reached up the way, you pulled the periscope down. If you put both hands out in front of you, it then pulled you forward so you were actually looking out this little kind of eye hole at the front. But the problem was, if that's all you had to do, then that would have been okay. But there were so many other things that you could move your hand slightly to the left, but up a few inches, and that allowed you to... I can't even remember what that control was. Oh, it was a monitor.
Was so there anything for driving the mech? So far, you're just looking outside the mech as if you're trapped in it.
You know, you use the controller to drive.
All right, okay.
And the trigger's on the controller to shoot.
Ah, okay.
So are all these extra things just of any use things. Whatsoever? Are they just knickknacks?
No.
For scouting things out before you get into battle, maybe.
Exactly.
Or something.
All right. And you could actually, like, if you put your hand over to your left, you put into high gear, but left and up a wee touch, you then pulled the monitor towards you. So you could actually shut the window at the front so snipers couldn't shoot you. And you could actually watch the monitor, but the monitor was really slow and flickering. It was like kind of one frame a second or something like that, refresh rate, or even less than that. Then there was a box.
So they can make walkable mechs, but not a camera that works in
exactly.
the front of it.
Front, and you could then switch between front and rear. There was a button up near the same place where you put both your hands out to reach forward. There was the button to change your different ammo. Now, I don't know whether it was my Kinect, maybe crap, it's not worked, or something like that, but in the training thing where you were doing one thing at a time, it worked really, really nicely. And I was getting quite excited when you got the first ones, but then it went on for another 5-10 minutes showing you all these stupid little things, like there was a self-destruct button that happened to be right next to the button that that allowed you to turn the fans on, like if something was on fire. So it was very, very easy for it to hit the self-destruct button or turn the fans on for the air conditioning.
That one should just be like if you pat your head 3 times and then rub your belly.
It's a Japanese mech games are notorious for things like that. Have you ever seen one of the proper controllers you can actually use these games? Yeah. I got told by one of my friends at work but played with one, and it says it was basically sitting inside a cockpit. It went right round you. You had controls and buttons everywhere, and they all had a function. Dear God.
If they had made that slightly, like, I think it's almost like somebody in a boardroom kind of says, let's make a Kinect tank game. And instead of just keeping it to over to your right, switches the engine on, to your left, changes the gear, stand up, you look at the top, and the binoculars are a little bit cheesy, but you could kind of see the logic in them. And that was it, and the rest of it you were using the controller for. But it's almost like somebody's going to go, well, hold on, maybe we should do more stuff, because it's a Kinect title. And if they paired it back, I think it would actually work. But frankly, for me, too much, I'm not going to go near it.
But there's a fine... I agree with everything you said, but surely there is a very fine line between getting enough kind of Kinect motion content in it to them just looking like lazy arseholes who haven't even bothered.
Yeah, I suppose there is that, but I just think that they went too far with it. They could have done it.
Oh, it certainly sounds like
They could have implemented just half a dozen things that would have been a really nice feature.
Then the mech fanboys wouldn't have been happy about that. If it was taken back, unless there's an option where you can.
Well, no, totally. All of those things could have been on the controller because they were missing out a bunch of buttons on the controller. Some of the buttons on the controller wasn't doing anything. There is no reason why I had to have the button for to change my ammo as a reach out button. That could have easily been on the controller. There was no reason for that to be there. There was just all sorts of little things that I just thought, this is just now becoming ever so slightly a gimmick. And it struck me that I bet that this game, maybe it's already happened because I can't remember. I think it comes out next week. But I think it'll come out with a pack with Kinect. And so they had to really, really push the Kinect functionality so that they could sell a Kinect console to hardened gamers. Anyway, so I'm probably not going to be rushing out for that one.
I'm still not willing to buy Kinect, so.
So moves us nicely on to what have we been playing this week? Chiz? What have you been playing this week?
I've dived back into the world of Skyrim, just in preparation for Dawnguard, and to try out the horse, the
mounted combat.
The mounted combat, just see what that was like. And it's simple enough; it works. I particularly like, well, now using the bow and arrow on horseback, I don't have to get off my horse just to kill a bloody wolf.
Yeah.
And it works in. Tomb of the Sus, like I didn't realise at first for the first battle that the right trigger swings your sword to the right hand side, the left trigger swings to the left hand side, and after Sus, I went, oh yeah, I get that now.
I kept having to like it kind of swing on my right hand side and then kind of go forward and then do like a 3-point turn on my horse and then come back to attack the guy again because I had to keep up on the same side.
Although using magic doesn't work on horse, you can't use this magic.
I don't think I ever tried that actually.
And but yeah, it was okay. And yes,
you shall.
I didn't try that.
No, neither did I.
I doubt you'd be able to use that either. I should try that.
I had horrible problems of shouting and always managing to, because my favourite shout was the one that you get from the assassin people, the drain. the slow drain of energy or whatever it is. And my horse always got in the way of that.
Well, yeah, I suppose, I bet that that would have been a glitch if they left it in. Every time he did the blast away, you just, every time he said that, your horse would get blasted away from under your legs. So I've just been back at that and clearing up a few achievements. Eventually got the Thieves Guild back to its original, like back to its full power, which was a big achievement. It took me ages to do.
How many thefts do you have to complete to do that?
God, like, because you have to speak to, is it Davin and Vex, and do, it's two quests at a time. I'd say I easily had to do about 30 of them. And then, like, I think you have to get so much gold in each major town. Like, there's four towns. And then you get a special mission for that town, and once you've done the special mission for each town, that you completed it.
Because there's an Assassin's version of that as well, isn't there? With the Night Mother giving you random, stupid missions.
Yeah, although that doesn't go anywhere, it just kind of goes on forever.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm glad I stopped then.
Which I thought it was for the Thieves Guild as well, until I realised, I have to get that achievement, I have to keep doing loads of those annoying things just by randomly. And I noticed they started to repeat themselves. Like, I think I broke into this one guy's house about six times, so he must be getting really pissed off at me.
Change the same... the same accounts book. Yeah. It's not even my handwriting. Someone else has just written the whole thing.
It's like, for the fourth week in a row, I'm sending all my money to Sebastian McChuff.
Who the hell is this man?
And so I've been playing that and just achievement horn. Because like, I've got 800 points, and I thought, I may as well get 1,000 points before Dawnguard comes out. So I've got to have to find all the Daedric artifacts now. And right. I'm up to level 49, so one more level, and I've got that. So I've just been a massive geek achievement.
Now, I think, Sam, we're going to have to let you off this one because of you being quite poorly, you've not managed to.
Yeah. Would you not have a lot of time? No, but I'm saying a lot of mobile games while you're sitting on the toilet.
I did play a little bit of mobile games. Yeah. There's one in particular, but I was going to leave that for the...
Okay, we'll leave that for the pick. We'll leave that for the pick. I picked up Max Payne 3 following our last show, actually.
Welcome to the crew.
Yes, I'm now part of Spandex Bally. I'm loving it. Really, really good game. There's not very much to say, because I think Chiz kind of covered it in the last episode, but absolutely fantastic. You know, the funny thing is, I keep forgetting about bullet time. And so I'm kind of playing.
That's like the major thing. That's what, like,
I know. I keep kind of coming into a room and trying to play it like Gears of War, whereby I'm just ducking and shooting, ducking and shooting, and that just doesn't work because ammo.
The AI make a point of flushing you out, so it's like it's got a cover system, but obviously the developers didn't want it just to be that. Yeah. They wanted to use the bullet time and jump around.
The AI is actually very good in it. I quite like, because they'll sneak around behind you and stuff like that.
They'll try and flush out and throw grenades at you, so you have to keep on the move.
It's really good.
Especially in the higher settings, anyway.
Because, like, going very briefly back to Mass Effect, I went through that basically as a soldier pretty much the whole game without ever using a power myself. So if they do that, I've gone from not being interested in the slightest to...
No, it's good. The AI, I was really impressed with the AI. There was a couple of points where... I was just quite happy, and I honestly couldn't see a way to do it. There's one bit where you actually peer out there in the football stadium. Mm-hmm. And you peer out, and there is absolutely nowhere to hide. And there's guys coming up like three or four channels, you know, like in the bleachers. And you have nowhere to hide. And I did this amazing just run, jumping dive.
Off the top step.
And off the top step. And you are flying through the air.
It's like a 50-foot drop. Yeah. And it only knocks a wee bit of health off you. You go, oh, pretty God, realistic. That broke a rib. But it's just like your Max Payne. I don't care. Painkillers.
You're kind of shooting at these guys who are like ants because you're that high up. Yeah. Pew, pew.
It's a slow motion. There must be the guy down the sports going, oh my God.
It's so beautiful. No, it was really cool. There was a couple of bits that I was a little disappointed with. Like, actually, coincidentally, when you're actually getting the sniper off the top of the IT box, and I really wanted to control that bit, and it was like, you just kind of smash through and you kill him. And I was like, I kind of wanted a bit where, you know, like a lot of it where you have to actually aim as you're flying through the air. Mm. You know, like when you're coming off the top of the New York building and you have to shoot all the guys. And there was a couple of bits like that where it actually killed the guy for you. And it was a cutscene. I was a bit disappointed. I kind of wanted the satisfaction.
Although you jump through the window, but then it comes back to you and you shoot him. Basically, after you've come through, you've kicked him in the face. So you're both lying on your back. And then it's a perfect opportunity just to do a slow motion bullet shot as you empty your whole clip into his groin. And then if you hold down A, you get this, it goes into super slow motion. You watch every bullet going, and you're going, no children for you.
It's absolutely fantastic game, though. Highly recommended. Bargain Basement. How did you guys enjoy your Bargain Basement challenge this week? I'll start with you, Chiz. Chiz, you had Matt Hazard.
Yeah, a third person shooter of the lowest degree. It's like a very basic third person shooter. It's as if it's been coded for a browser. Right. Yeah, not very well polished at all, just basic. It's like they've attempted a game that's more about the humor rather than gameplay. Anyway,
right,
that's it.
Okay.
Although they failed miserably at the humor as well, because it's not very well written. It's like they're trying to take the mick out of every other game that's ever been out, and out of all the genres or your usual pitfalls in computer games. And so the character play Matt Hazard is a computer game character from the 80s or something, and he knows he is a computer game character, but he plays a computer game character as if he's an actor in these games, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bizarre. And I think that's where they're trying to get the humour, because they take the mick out of quick time events and stuff, but at no point did it actually crack much of a smile out of me. And they've got Will Arnett doing the voice of him, which you think would be a good thing, because I think Will Arnett's quite good at doing a lot of humour on the spot.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they've not asked him to do that, or he's refused and just read a crap script and picked up his paycheck.
It's
dire.
Oh, well, so that's not a purchase.
No.
So unfortunately, if you give us a rating in iTunes, you could get that game
based
on that fantastic review.
And the achievements seem to be... The achievements even just take the piss as well. Like I probably could have quite easily, if I put another couple of hours in the game, got 1,000 points. But I'm not that much of an achievement whore.
Yes, you are.
No. I only do it with games I enjoy.
That is a lie.
And it's like, but the Barbie Princess game was just by accident.
I think I actually have an achievement. Some achievements for Barbie Princess, but that's entirely because Morgan plays it.
Whatever.
I thought I just made that game up. Okay. there's actually an achievement just for pausing the game. But I feel, I think these might be just be taking the mick out of achievements. Some of their achievements, if you know what I mean, they're trying to take the mick out of everything to do with computer games.
Right.
But the humor is it just doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah, I can't see that.
No, it's like they've come up. Like, I think they've come up with an alright idea. I think I can understand what they're trying to achieve. It could work. It could be humorsome. But the people who have actually attempted to do it have failed miserably.
Sam, you had Divine Divinity this week.
Yeah, it's all in the name.
Did you enjoy it?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out what kind of arsehole, kind of double barrels is the name of his sodding game.
Yeah.
With the same bloody word, basically. Divine Divinity.
It was welcome to good goodness.
It was total chasm. Gash. It was
chasm gash.
It was huge, gaping miles wide. It was horrendous. It was.
What sort of
actually
game was awful?
Starting to get to the point where I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, tough.
It was like a Baldur's Gate ripoff.
And, was it by Baldur's Gate ripoff?
Crossed with like. Maybe a bit of Golden Axe, but the voice acting, which I'm forcing Paul to play a bit.
Okay, I'll just play a little bit. Just
is
now.
Just quite frankly horrific.
Oh look, here they come!
Oh dear me,
come doom and destruction!
What?
You. Oh, Thelion Hashnitar, the Lord of Decay! Oh, begone, foul demon!
No. That is fantastic.
I think anyone that actually bothered listening to that would just... You can sympathise... Just don't ever buy that game. It's not funny. And also, if you manage to win the Bargain Basement thing, just... just totally, and I know I've kind of hinted at this before, just snap that one. Just take it out of the box and snap all three the orange discs.
It comes in three discs.
Three discs.
Wow.
It was designed to play on Windows 95 and 98 machines. Thank you very much.
Okay. My game was Speed Thief. A more repetitive game one has never seen. It was incredible.
I'm glad you was.
I'm guessing you played a thief who was had something to do with speed.
Right. The plot was
he stole to feed his speed out.
Yeah, he stole speed and just got off his tits.
I'm a complete asshole.
It's like your normal drug dealer will come home and just find this guy just going mental in the middle of his living room. Dave, not you again!
Get him off speed!
No, that's not how
the game. That sounds like a much better game.
The basic premise was that you stole cars to order.
Oh, that's right, a bit dull, actually.
Right, it was kind of... I mean, it was designed again for Windows 95. It played on XP. I managed to find an old XP laptop. When it was kind of like laying itself up, the voice acting was rubbish again. But it was kind of saying, you're going to steal cars to order and you're going to put them on ferries. And when you arrive, you'll get paid for, like, for example, say this car was worth 40 grand, but you'd pranged it twice, and so they were going to have to spend, like, 5 grand fixing it, so they'd give you 35 grand.
The game's that bad, you're crying.
So they would pay you 35 grand, which I was kind of thinking, yeah, this could be okay. This could be okay. I could be on a winner here. It then give you the level select. The first level is Aberdeen as well.
Awesome.
So you had to steal a car.
This sounds more like our Speed Thief.
It's like Aberdeen.
Oh, man!
As the core of Scottish car crime.
So you steal a car, and then you drive it to the docks.
Aberdeen, we're stealing Novas.
Well, you put it in a ferry, and then you get your money. And I thought, yeah, this could be quite interesting. First of all, the car that you had to steal was, and I wrote down some of the car names because they obviously hadn't gotten the rights to use actual car names. There was the Twilight Stellar was one of the car names. They just hadn't, and they just looked like generic cars. And that car's on the road price that you were going to get for it if you took it to the ferry was £1,200. Right? Fantastic. So I was still kind of, yeah, this could be okay. You started on a 6-lane motorway. Now, where in Aberdeen you will find a 6-lane motorway is anybody's guess.
Accurately taken with photographs and satellites.
How do you manage to steal a car in a 6-lane?
Well, no, you started from a standing still position on a 6-lane motorway.
So you'd already stolen the car and you start driving it.
And you just started driving it. And then you had to drive it to the docks, which was 4 miles away. And in the top left-hand corner, you had the current cost for your car. So every time you pranged it, the cost came down a little bit. It had a timer, which just went up. There wasn't like a thing against you. And then it had the distance to the end. And basically, long story short, why I discovered this game was because this was the longest, straightest road in Scotland, let alone in Aberdeen. It was a 6-lane motorway with gentle corners.
Were you driving on the right-hand side as well?
No, you were driving on the left-hand side.
Oh, they got that right.
Yeah, they got that right. And that was it. And it was a 4-mile drag race because when you got to the end, you didn't even see
a
ferry.
There was no corners.
It was gentle curves. Oh, okay. There was no ferries. You just passed under like a kind of an overpass thing on the motorway, and then it just said you've reached the border, and that was the end. And you got paid for the game.
The border to what?
Yeah, this was you getting on the ferry going to Innsbruck or something like that.
Right.
The next level was Hull.
I take it back. You were playing a browser game.
Yeah, it was. The next
stealing
level was
stealing cheap cars in Hull.
In a bizarre twist, you started on a 6-lane motorway.
Right.
Travelled 4 miles.
Was it the same buildings you're going past?
You didn't go past any buildings. It was just grass.
Oh, it was just...
grass and bush.
Okay.
There is no grass in Hull.
Well, that was it. It was, again, this was a little longer. This was a 4.5-mile stretch.
All right.
And there was a few more police cars. But the police cars didn't even try and run you off. They came towards you, swerved out the way of you, and then twisted around behind you. Oh, I forgot the best part. When you started from a standing still position, 5 police cars were directly behind you. Now, I got a phone call in the middle of playing. Actually, sorry, before I continue that. It was that boring that you could just hold the front forward button and just steer left and right. But because it was that straight most of the game, I found myself losing interest and drifting off and reading Twitter and just holding my finger on the accelerator. So I crashed a couple of times and discovered that when you crash the car, a message came up and said, oh, you've crashed, massive damage. The handling of the car is going to be impeded. And then I started driving. I was like, oh, this is fine. And then every now and again, it was like some kid in the back of your car pulled the handbrake on and just like shot across to the left. And then you straightened up and the car was fine again for another 10 seconds. And then somebody in the back pulled the handbrake on again. You shot across to the right. It was incredible. But on about the fifth or sixth level, I can't remember, somebody phoned me and I forgot that I'd clicked go and I was waiting for the game to load. And I was sitting on the phone and I realised that what happens is because these five police cars are behind you, without doing anything, the police cars actually pushed you along the motorway. They didn't, like, arrest you. They pushed you along and I got to the end of the level, albeit my car was fairly damaged because it had been smashed. But the police cars pushed me all the way along the level and I finished the level without touching a key.
That's very kind of them.
It's incredible.
It does sound like the British police force.
Yeah, it does.
It was all so, Britain. Yeah, it was the
sounds,
levels.
Sounds pretty accurate.
The few levels that
although
I played.
Although the grass in Hull, there'd be gypsies all over that if it was.
Few levels that I played were Aberdeen, Hull, Port Talbot, which I think is in Ireland, Plymouth, Harwich, wherever that is, Southampton, Newhaven, Dover, Ramsgate, and Liverpool. And that was my hour. And so it was all British. The voice acting was horrendous. It was bad. Very, very bad. Anyway, we're running a bit over on time tonight, so I'm going to speed up a little bit. The games I have for you gentlemen this evening. Sam, I actually think you might like this one.
No, let's not do that.
I can't find any quotes.
I totally deserve
no,
it.
No.
I have had more painful...
People like to hear you suffer.
It's a Flash game, Sam. It's Robin Hood, The Legend of Sherwood.
It's a Flash game.
It looks... you need Shockwave and Flash in the back.
Right.
Chiz, this one is particularly...
Right, so that definitely is a browser game.
Actually, to be honest... I haven't bothered reading any of it so far, but just going from the images, that looks all right.
See if you can think or guess what this game is, Chiz. You'll have heard of it.
All right.
You find yourself standing in the wreckage of Oceanic Flight 815. Survivors are screaming, explosions and debris is everywhere, and you have no memory of what's happened. Experience the never-before-told story of a previously unseen Flight 815 survivors. As you fight for your survival, you're uncovered secrets and piece together fragments of your secret past. And if you're lucky, you may just find a way home.
Is that Lost Xbox game?
It's the Lost Xbox game.
I've heard... That is probably the easiest 1,000 points achievement, so I shall definitely whore this one out.
Chiz, my games are just at your knees, mate.
Even if you don't enjoy it, Chiz.
Yeah, I can get 1,000 points and then get my achievement. Right. So, why are the games you getting in a different bag?
Because they, you'll look at
those
ones.
Good ones, or...
No, they're pretty horrendous, too.
Okay. All right, I'm going to give you House of the Dead. Is it because I think you'll actually enjoy the other two?
I wanted those ones.
So you get House of the Dead, which you'd be playing with a keyboard.
Yes, I will.
No, I suppose mouse, sorry.
This podcast and all the others on the British Tech Network wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. They've kept the British Tech Network alive for over 3 years, and they are awesome. You should go and use them. However, if you would mind just heading over to britishtechnetwork.com and clicking on the link on the left-hand side, mainly so that they know that we sent you, just so that you didn't kind of get the voucher codes and stuff like that off forum site. So if you head on to britishtechnetwork.com, click on the UK2 link down the left-hand side and head over to UK2 and get all the stuff you need, all the great stuff, DNS, domains, VPN, servers, and so on and so forth. When you get to checkout, once you've got everything that you possibly need, in the voucher code bit, if you pop in the following voucher codes to get some surprises. So you get British Tech DNS, gives you free DNS for 2 years. British Tech Domains gives you 20% off domain name registration. British Tech VPN gets you 50% off your first month's VPN charges. British Tech Server gives you £50 off any gigabit server. That's an online only deal. And British Tech VPS gives you your first month's free with a VPS server. So there you go. UK2, they support British Tech and you should support them. Gentlemen, do we have any cool picks this week? Sam?
Yep. I've got a pick called Rebuild. It's on, I don't know if it's on iTunes, but it's on the Google Marketplace thing. It's a zombie apocalypse thing. You are a random bloke who becomes like the leader of a small group of survivors, and you expand your fort, as it were, within this town, slowly taking back the towns. There's kind of, you get raided by crazy gangs and obviously zombies. And I just thought it was really quite in-depth and quite interesting.
How much was it?
50p.
50p. Awesome. A 50p Android game. Doesn't look like it's on iOS, but I'm assuming you could find something similar.
It was pretty awesome.
Chiz, your cool thing?
Well, just when you're talking about the game developer thing, after checking a few of the E3 stuff, I downloaded the CryEngine 3 development kit. Mm-hmm. Just to mess with that, because I noticed it was free to download, and obviously if you actually make a game and publish it, they take 20%, but it's free to obviously play around with, and I thought, that may be quite a cool thing. And yeah, as you first go in, you kind of go, the tutorial looked easy. And so I've been playing around with that. I've always in the back of my head, I'm going to be a games developer, which I never will be because I'm far too lazy. But I'm actually going to make an attempt to see if I can actually bash out something with it, or at least learn to use it. Whether that happens is a different story.
Mm. Can I rate it?
Yeah, if you want.
We could do that as a bargain basement challenge.
Yeah, we should design a game. And I recommend anyone who's out there interested in games business or whatnot, or wants to mess around art and things like that, you should go to crydev.net and download the SDK there and check it out.
Cool. My cool pick is actually something that I've known about for a while, but I never actually played it. I was downloading the demos that I mentioned earlier for the calendar. And I saw a game called Disney Universe. Now, this isn't really for your hardened gamer. It's more for your family gamer if you have kids or something like that. But Disney Universe, a cracking little platformer game. I played the demo through. I think you can get it for about £16 on Amazon or something like that. And it's a great little platformer. You play as a small blue character who has costumes of all the Disney characters. And it's just a simple 3D kind of, so it's like a platformer. You've got like front and back, it's, you know, deep as well as long, and it's a great little platformer. And actually, I've got kind of a sub pick to that, and I completely forgot about this as well. It's just Xbox Live demos for kids. There's tons and tons of kids games on the game marketplace for free, because you generally only get the first or second level sometimes, and it's absolutely superb. Just for downloading them, something cheap they can sit and play, and kids, you know, if it's a good game, they'll probably play that same level over and over and over again. So a bit of a sub pick there is the Xbox Live game marketplace for kids games, but my main pick is Disney Universe. Obviously it's, as I say, not for the hardened gamer.
Just very quickly, Disney Universe, that sounds like a small cartoon version of Buffalo Bill, and he's just gone out and skinned all of the top Disney characters and he just wears the... Rub the lotion in your skin, Mickey.
Actually, while we're talking about Disney, it was a link that I just wanted to mention because it's worth looking at. If you head on over to YouTube, we'll put the link in the show notes, but head on over to YouTube and catch the trailer for Wreck-It Ralph, as a new Disney film coming out. It looks superb.
How many games characters did you spot on that?
There was a number, and I can't believe that they got the rights to use as many.
Yeah, because there's Bowser, there's Dr. Robotnik, so there's Sonic and Mario villains right there.
Yeah.
There's Zangief, M. Bison, Chun-Li.
There's loads of
them. Yeah, absolutely. There was
even a fighter from Mortal Kombat, which is like an 18-rated fighting game about.
It looked absolutely superb. So head on over, we'll put a link in the show notes, as I say, to the YouTube trailer video, but absolutely
watch
superb.
Watch Ted as well.
Yeah,
it does look good. Anyway, just a bit of a couple of other things before we finish up for the evening. The British Tech Bash, there's still tickets left for it. If you head on over to britishtechbash.eventbrite.com or head on over to britishtechnetwork.com and click on the banner at the top, you can still get tickets there. They are £20 plus a booking fee. You will get a fresh £20 note when you arrive at the Bash. It's just basically to cover food and drink and things like that, so make sure you're definitely coming. If you want to contact us, you can email us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at British Tech News, or you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Paul Wheatley. That's Paul Wheatley. But most importantly, if you've liked what you've heard and you want to win all of our Bargain Basement games on Show 5, which is the next show we're going to put out, head on over to iTunes and give us a review. I don't really mind how many stars you give us. Just give us a review. The funniest one will win all the games. And at the moment, the funniest one is our friend Beads. And I don't think it's fair for Beads to win all of our Bargain Basement games. So somebody else...
No, actually, I know how painful those games are. Beads deserves them.
How do we contact the person through the review?
That never occurred to me. I'm going to worry about that.
they can tweet you or something.
Yeah, yeah. So head on over to iTunes. We're not necessarily asking for 5-star reviews. If you want to give us 5 stars, that's superb. But the main thing is head
give
on
us
over.
5 stars.
Head on over. Give us the stars you think you deserve and give us the funniest review. The funniest review will win all of our Bargain Basement games to date up to the 5th show. So that's great. And if you don't want to compete in that and you just want to give us a review telling us a tip or something like that, we'll read it out all of them at the beginning of the show. It's absolutely fantastic that people are putting some reviews on, so it's great. The show seems to be getting received really well. So thank you very much, gentlemen, for that's another week. And we're done.
Hooray!